Welcome to another edition of Black Teachers Matter. Here on WBCA LP 102.9 FM in Boston, I'm your host, Sharon Eaton Hinton, here with another edition of a fantastic learning experience via the media that we have. For the entire hour, we will be talking about food, where it comes from, how it gets here, how we can help it get here. And some of the guests that I have here with me this evening are Sister Dora Muhammad in the studio, Sister Anna Muhammad, who is zooming in from Springfield, and Brother Dana Williams, who is zooming in from New York City. I have to tell you, I am excited, and welcome, welcome. Can we all chime in? Sister Dora Muhammad in the studio. Wait, let me see. Can I see you? Yeah, there you go. Hello.
Hello. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam.
And let me see. Can I see? Here we go. Then we have the other two. Yes, technology is in the house. Brother Sister Anna Muhammad from Springfield. And Brother Dana Williams from New York City, New York. If you see you're from Boston, we don't have any R's. So you have to say New York, New York. And thank you so much. So we see you now on in video and Zoom, via Zoom. Thank you so much for being here with us. And Sister Dora is in the studio with me. Thank you so much for being here with me. And this is going to be very interesting, me engineering this and talking to you guys at the same time. What I didn't do is try to get everybody on at the same time, because we're usually in the TV studio and we can do that, but we can't do that tonight, but we're going to work it out. So some of the things we want to talk about tonight are the organizations called Sisters Who Can, C-A-N-N, because we're talking about canning. Brothers Can Too, C-A-N-N Too. We want to talk about a couple of grants and farming grants. Chief George is not here to talk to us about that, but we have people who will. And the PPLT, which will go into that kind of grant, and the Northeast Organic Farming Association of Massachusetts. So, Sister Dora, can you open it up for us and give us the broad strokes? And then we want to get into a discussion and a presentation from Sister Anna, because she can't stay with us for the entire show. So, Sister Dora, tell us what this organization, the Northeast Organic Farming Association of Massachusetts, is really all about.
Well, Northeast Organic Farming Association is teaching farming practices to people who, farmers, but we're teaching young farmers and people how to grow organically grown food. We have seven different chapters across Massachusetts, different programs for youth. We have a summer conference, a winter conference, and it expands more to that. Sister Anna will share more information on that as we continue.
And so when you talked about, and also give me just an overview or a touch, because we'll go into it more about the grants, but I want to talk about what we're going to be talking about in more detail, a little bit more detail on the show. The PPLT grant, farming grant, and the Coburg farming grant, what are they? What does that stand for, and what are they?
The PPLT grant stands for the Pocahontas, Pocahontas. It's all of these different pronunciations. Grant, yeah. So that's a grant where we teach young farmers how to grow their farms. We set up programs with them so they can learn the farming practices through microscopy and soil testing, soil health, food access, just different programs. Now that's through the USDA grant.
The federal government, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then we have other farms that are connected to it, like Global Village Farms. And, of course, Chief George has input on it as well.
Okay. Yeah. So Sister Anna Muhammad and Brother Dana, we're going to see next on screen together. So I want to ask Sister Anna first, can you go into more detail about what these grants are designed to do, what they're meant to do?
Sure.
And just introduce yourself. And who you are? I mean, if I talked to either one of you guys, I could fill up the whole hour with who you are and what you do. But right now, you and Brother Dana are on camera. So I want you first and then him to talk about what you are doing and how important that is to people, to human beings, and also specifically to Black people, to color people of color.
Sure. Sure. And I want to thank you so much, Sister Sharon, for having us all on. We're very grateful for this opportunity. As you mentioned, both Sister Dora and I work with the Northeast Organic Farming Association, the Massachusetts chapter. Massachusetts is one of seven chapters. There is a NOFA New York, NOFA Connecticut, Rhode Island, Vermont, New Hampshire, and New Jersey. So we're one of several chapters.
Oh, wow.
I'm the food access director, and Sister Dora is one of our very hardworking food access instructors. She covers the East Boston in the Providence area. Our programming in food access is statewide. So as you mentioned, I live in Springfield. A great deal of our programming is in Springfield. And food access, basically what it stands for, is developing self-determination for Black and Brown people in their communities that have choice, that have self-determination over their own food choices. And we do that through soil health, healing soil, practicing organic and traditional growing practices, cooking, nutrition, and food preservation. So all that is food access.
So now
the last
couple
of years.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. I was going to just interject. Food access is when you think of access, you think of availability to it. Is that physically, financially, economically, mentally?
It's all of it. It's all of it. So in a lot of our communities, we don't always have access to healthy food. So we don't necessarily have a Whole Foods or Whole Check right there in the community, unless we're looking at gentrification, which a lot of cities are looking at that. We may not have a Trader Joe's. We may not have the ability to get on a bus and go across town and purchase healthier food. So we're working with what we have in the community. We may not mentally have access to healthy food, not know that we need healthy food. We may not have access to how to work with it, how to prepare it. So it's all of that. And basically food access, now this is my definition I'm throwing in there, is our shot across the bow to really fight against food apartheid and food insecurity. And it's giving us Black and Brown people the tools to do this for ourselves, to do for self and not depend on others to do it. That is food access in its truest sense. And the work that we're able to do allows us to develop that and help us to develop together as a community, because for Sister Dora and I, we're working in the communities that we live. So I'm not going to some far out place. I'm going down the street.
Right.
Sister Dora's going around the corner. So again, this is live in action. It is popular education at its highest.
So I want to bring Brother Dana in and what he does. You're in New York. And so, you know, there's so much stuff going through my mind right now, because when we talk about food access and we talk about just the loss of land and green space, when I think of New York, there's upstate New York and there's green and farming areas, but then there's New York City. Where are you and the work that you do? And also, what is the work that you're doing?
Actually, most of the work that I'm doing is in Massachusetts. I'm in New York, doing some other things, actually caretaking for parents. Mm-hmm. But I do do some gardening, and I work with some of the local gardeners in New York. But in Massachusetts, I mainly work with the Information Center in Roxbury, and that's how I basically got my introduction to doing this food work.
So you're working with Siddiqui Cambone, the Black Community Information Center. Okay. So you're in New York, but you're doing this. So again, my question's the same. What are you doing?
So what I'm doing is basically learning about some of the basic problems that face us with food access, and having and growing, like, you know, food that would sustain the community, and just trying to distribute food within the community. So, like, what I've been doing lately is just I'm basically learning. So I've been working on a farm. I'm sort of like all over the place in Rhode Island, and I've got like a small plot, like about a half an acre. And so I'm kind of learning, like, you know, the ins and outs of farming and using that knowledge in order to like try to grow some healthy food and whatnot in order to supply the community. But, you know, also, you know, there's so many other situations that like go along with food access that are affecting the community as well. So like, you know, things like gentrification and education, like, you know, I was like introduced to you today, and I was very interested to like, you know, talk to you because this is about Black teachers who matter and whatnot. And, you know, basically like, you know, just sort of like, you know, I'm a student, I'm learning, and like whatever I learn, I try to like, you know, bring back to the community right
so
now.
So I have a question for you, Brother Dana. When we talk about learning and teaching, I think the best teachers are also the best learners, and they're lifelong learners, right? And so all my grandparents were Southerners, and I learned from my grandmother, my Nana, how to grow things, how things grew. And not just that you didn't just go to the supermarket and they showed up in the table. I mean, you knew what they looked like from the seed to the seedling and then what you had to do to take care of it. And so I passed that on to my daughter, and there's certain organizations in Boston that allow you or help you to either get land or to get raised boxes. And so I also learned, you know, the difference between the dirt and the soil and what I have to do in terms of being a good steward and a good caretaker. So I want to throw it to Sister Dora first, but then back to Sister Anna. In terms of when you're teaching people, and this goes to you too, Brother Dane, as a student and a teacher, when you're teaching people, Sister Dora, because you know, we haven't talked about the sisters who can and the brothers who can too, but when you're teaching people, our people, what are some of the misconceptions or the common misconceptions that you hear about what you need to do to learn how to can, learn how to grow? What are some of the common misconceptions that you have to unteach and then reteach, Sister Dora?
Well, some of them are, thank you for that question, just putting seeds in the ground without testing the soil. See, before we would just take seeds and just put them in the ground, we would have, I remember seeing an old picture, I think it was 1970 or 80, It was down on Blue Hill Ave on Quincy and Blue, and then they were showing this video, and they had all of these rows of dirt with soil, and people were growing food there. But it was, I'm not sure if they tested the soil. I know they didn't test the soil, and it's all around this exhaust and all of this stuff. You know, it was glass. It was glass inside the dirt, all kind of impurities. So that's one thing we have to reteach people. How to test their soil before putting anything in directly into the ground. Because some people, they don't know if they're planting over an old gas station that was leveled and, you know, and paved. And then they dug it up and then they just made, you know, use the dirt from beneath there. And then there's different kind of harmful minerals and chemicals in that dirt that will harm you. You'll be growing your food, yes, but those type of chemicals, the soil has to be tested first before you just go ahead and plant into the ground. And that's what one of the misconceptions are.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, Sister Anna, because we're coming down to your time, the rest of the people are going to be with me for a while, but what are some of the misconceptions or things that you have to unteach when you're teaching young people and our people? And I'm thinking there's two different things, because young people sort of, they're so used to instant this, instant that, and that's the generation, right?
Right.
You know, I would think the length of what it takes to grow something before you can actually eat it might be one of the things. What are some of the other things?
Sure. Length of time and where it comes from. Oftentimes, and particularly with our youth, as we work with them, they're often shocked that cabbage didn't just show up in Price Right, you know, or in Market Basket, but that it grows somewhere. And I look at just my own beginnings in terms of gardening and growing and being shocked at how cauliflower actually grew, because the cauliflower I saw was in the store. So that misconception, and also just the realization, oh, this is really where my food comes from. So as they harvest, when they harvest a tomato or an eggplant, and they realize this is how it really goes. So that beautiful pepper that I see sitting in the store had its beginnings here in the soil as a seedling. And because we've cultivated and taken care of it and used proper soil health practices, and we're planting in safe soil, now we have this beautiful pepper that is actually nutritious. Because everything that you get in the store is not necessarily nutritious, because you don't know how it was grown. You don't know if they've used pesticides. You don't know if they have extracted everything out of the earth, and so the soil has nothing in it. Because you can grow something, but is it nutrient rich? Does it have the nutrients that your body needs? So that's one of the first things that is a pleasant surprise when I see it in their faces, that, oh, wow, this is how it starts. That is the first thing everyone says, whether they're a youth, a child, or an adult.
And so what are some of the things that we boy, when I think of the fact that I had grandparents, I had people that showed me that. And actually then we got on to my Nana was really prolific in terms of growing. As a matter of fact, she was so prolific with tomatoes. I kind of hated tomatoes for a while because we had so many tomatoes. She had tomato jam, tomato wine, tomato, I mean, tomatoes, right? It was just, and then she never used any pesticides. You had to wash it off with soapy water, or you squeeze them with, you know, the bugs when your hands are removing. I was like, this is like really not pretty. And then she showed how to wrap them up in newspapers and put them in a cold, dry cellar. And then you had fried green tomatoes and the whole thing. I mean, it was tomato city. But she grew a lot more of the different things. So when you are teaching and our young people and teaching our people how to do that, where are the light bulb moments? If I was Oprah, I'd say the aha. But where are the light bulb moments with our people, Sister Anna?
Oftentimes it's in taste. I encourage the youth while we're out in the garden to taste things. First of all, they're surprised at what it looks like, what it really looks like. And then I encourage them to taste things. We oftentimes will do small cooking demonstrations with the food right there in the garden. We set up the table. We harvest some tomatoes, some peppers, some onions, some garlic, some cilantro, and we'll make a quick salsa. We'll make a quick bruschetta. We'll make a quick sofrito. And what I see in that aha moment, wow, this tastes so much better than Goya. This tastes so much better than Lay's. This tastes so much better. I didn't know it tastes like that. That's the comments that we always get when they start tasting things. I've had students that would never eat a tomato, wouldn't even touch it. We give them one, give them a cherry tomato, and they're like, oh, this is like eating grapes. And then next thing you know, they're putting tomatoes on their burgers. Or I had a young woman, Briasia, she tried fresh basil for the first time. And every time we would either order a pizza or if we had some kind of event, she would go in the garden and harvest her own basil and put it on her food. Definitely that aha moment that this really does taste good, and it's okay and pretty cool to eat vegetables. And that what I make with it tastes much better. So that's always the aha moment.
So, Brother Dana, you and I, way before, like we talked on the phone earlier, and the revolutionary aspect of growing, cooking, harvesting, making, selling, producing your own food, what does that do to a people and to young people?
Well, I always associate mostly everything, but definitely food, with a historical component. And if we go back, in Africa, not only did it feed like the people there, it fed countries around the world. And when the Africans traveled on those boats, they traveled with abundance. So it wasn't like a situation where the people that were sailing had scurvy and maybe like, nothing to eat. Wherever they came with abundance and gifts and whatnot. And they brought, one of the gifts was the gift of growing. So even like doing, you know, our enslavement, you know, they weren't really slaves. They were truly warriors. They used some of those gifts in order to survive. Even on a plantation when they were like forced to work from sunup to sunset, they still found time to grow their own foods, and not only grow their foods, sell their foods and whatnot, and use that commerce in order to like sometimes buy their freedom or buy the freedom of their loved ones and whatnot. So we've always had an association with the food, and like they saw that, and they saw like they had to disconnect that, because they saw during Reconstruction that short period of time, that 10-year period of time, that really scared them, because they saw that, like, you know, the ingenuity and like, you know, what we could do basically if we came together. And like, it wasn't like, you know, from my perspective, I didn't really see at that particular time that they wanted to integrate. They just wanted to be left alone so they could do their own thing. And like, you know, when they were able to be left alone, you could see what they were able to produce. So after that period with Jim Crow and stealing of land and sharecropping and things of that nature, you know, we still had that association and whatnot. Even up until like probably the 1890s or 1900, you know, most of the land was owned by us. Mm-hmm. And whatnot, you know? So like there's a connection with us in the land. It's like it's like a brother and a sisterhood, you know? So like, you know, the only way I could see our people really being liberated is if we free the land. Wow. And whatnot, you know. So like, you know, like I'm thankful to be in association with these two sisters. I just want to say salam alaikum to both of them. And Ramadan Mubarak, because I know Ramadan this is a Kareem. Very special time, you know, for you and whatnot, you know. So the food brings us together and whatnot. And like, you know, the food like always fed the movement, you know, it always like, you know, sustained the movement and whatnot. And the movement that we're getting ready to get into is going to do the same thing.
Okay, I'm glad you made like a nice transition in the last 7 minutes to talk to Sister Anna. and I hear Sister Dora laughing up here too, I guess. And so, yes, happy Ramadan. And
thank you.
Yes. Sister Anna, and I have to get you off of here. And I really appreciate the fact that you are really in Ramadan. This is and you've taken the time out to do this. And so that's one of the reasons we have to let you go. And also, Sister Dora, you are like, you're just a powerhouse, sister. I'm honored to be in your association. I mean, I am just like, wow. Let's talk about, and so, Brother Dana, you and I are going to talk about some of the people that fed the movement, but not right now, because I want to grab, during civil rights, I want to grab Sister Anna and talk about these grants before you go. Sure. We want to get this coming from not just Western Massachusetts, but also into Boston, right? We want to have this actually,
yes,
the youth involved in this, and we want to have people who are interested. You might have a little plot of land or access to a plot of land and to be able to do that. So what is it, and then how do we get people involved?
Sure. So one of the grants that we've partnered with the Pocasset Poconaut Land Trust, you've heard Sister Dora referred to that. You're right. Sister Dora is definitely a powerhouse, and the unofficial mayor of Boston is what I always say. But the Pocasset Poconaut Land Trust, PPLT is how we shorten that. They received a grant, one of the grants from the United States Department of Agriculture, USDA. It is for what they call socially disadvantaged beginning farmers. I hate that term, but it's really geared to reach out to those who want to begin to farm. They might be a market gardener. They may be in a community garden, and they're ready to make that turn. And so between NOFA Mass, PPLT, and Global Village in Grafton, we've set up different sessions with this grant that cover everything from soil health, how to set up your accounting books for farming, how to get grants, how to work with the National Resources Conservation Services. And then, yes, there is a youth component to actually develop programming similar to what we have in Springfield. So what we're doing in Springfield is that we're working with a housing development, Tapley Court Apartments. 40 families live in those apartments, and they started a community garden. The youth took it over around 2018, and we do a summer intensive year-round programming. We have field trips to different farms that highlight different organic farming techniques, and it's really built to help that community with food insecurity. So all the food that's grown is given to the families that live in the apartments in the surrounding streets. They can come over and participate in classes with us, which they do. And we're looking to duplicate that particular effort in spring in Boston, I'm sorry, in Boston, either at a community center, a high school science class. We worked with ROCA, or we are working with ROCA at another garden in Springfield. So any organization like that that would like to get their youth involved, the other grant that we have with PPLT is called the Conservation Outreach Cooperative Agreement, which is a grant that we have with the National Resources Conservation Services. It's to introduce our youth to different environmental science and conservation careers. Oftentimes in our school, and this program is the title so appropriate, Black Teachers Matter, because oftentimes we don't get this information. This is always given out in the burbs and the white communities. We don't get information about careers that don't require umpteen amount of years to go to school. You could go to training for a few months. You can go and get a bachelor's degree, come out and either be a soil scientist, a soil consultant, work in environmental science,
Wait. Stop
work
right there.
with.
Stop right there for a second. So as you know, God is good. I tell you, my daughter
All the time.
went to school to be a vet at the University of Maine, got a degree in zoology, in the Department of Wildlife, Forestry, Animal Science, and something else. She's looking for a job. So my question to you is, can you make a decent living in some of these jobs that you're talking about right now?
Oh yeah, you can. You can. Definitely if you're going in type of conservation work, they can start anywhere around 50 to 60,000 and go up. And you don't necessarily have to work for the government. You can start something for yourself. You know, people need soil consultants. They need an agronomist. An agronomist is someone that works with crop production, soil management. Oftentimes, that's the most important person on the farm because they run everything. They have their finger of the pulse of the soil conditions, weather, crop planting. So a lot of those jobs start at 60, 70,000.
Okay, so my
You can
daughter is
go.
looking for a job now. And for anybody who's looking for information, what is a phone number or an email address?
Best place that they can go, definitely we can connect them to the National Resources Conservation Service. So I can give you my email. That's Anna at NOFA Mass, NOFAMASS dot O-R-G, and we'll put them in contact with the Pocasset-Pocono Land Trust and the National Resources Conservation Service. Through the Conservation Outreach Cooperative Agreement, we will be doing outreach in schools in Boston. So if you would like Sister Dora and myself to come out and either A, talk about setting up a garden program in your school, in your classroom, or you want more information about these careers, we can definitely be your first resource in getting you connected in either situations. Definitely Global Village can help, and I can get you their contact information. So any avenue that you go, we can get you more information on the careers that are out there and the people who can help you get into those career paths. If you are a teacher that would like to have us come in your classroom, talk a little bit about soil health, soil science, tie it to the MCAS. We're doing that now in Central High School. You can reach out and we can definitely set up a curriculum with you based on what we're doing in Springfield. We have a model curriculum we've been using with a special education science teacher, and it seems to be doing pretty good. So.
And so in the last 30 seconds, because I promised to get you out of here, I thank you so much, Sister Anna Muhammad. You are amazing. And
Thank you a lot.
it is an honor to have you here with us. Brother Dana, you're staying with us. Sister Anna must go. Muhammad, salam alaikum. And
Walaikum salam.
is it Ramadan Mubarak? Am I doing that
Yes.
right? Yes,
Yes,
okay.
you are saying that right.
I'm trying to,
Yes.
you know, I'm still with y'all. I used to be in the nation and I'm not now, but I'm still with y'all. And so for those of you who have just tuned in, you're listening to WBCA LP 102.9 FM. My name is Sharon Hinton. This is Black Teachers Matter. We are Boston's community radio station. We have to take a short break, but we will be back in just a moment. And we've got so much information. Sister Dora Muhammad and Brother Dana Williams will stay with us here on our edition. We're talking about food, Black people, farming, what it takes to grow your own food, to be healthy, to live long and prosper. We'll be right back after these messages. This again is WBCA LP 102.9 FM in Boston for Boston's community radio station. And this is this live edition here of Black Teachers Matter.
This newspaper's got good news and bad news. The good news is that it's loaded with jobs for accountants and lawyers and nurses and carpenters and every other kind of skilled worker. The bad news is that there isn't a single ad for a school dropout, at least nothing you'd want. The more you know how tough things are for school dropouts, the more you'll see you have no choice. You have to stay in school. Think about it.
I can't believe that some of you guys still think it's cool to drink and drive. Well, read my lips. Anybody that's going to drive me home has got to be in condition to get me there in one piece. The more you know how I feel about drinking and driving, the more you know that if you drink and drive, I'm not going anywhere with you. But if you happen to be the designated driver, well, you can take me home anytime.
I don't know. Help me out here. It's a punching bag, right? I mean, it doesn't talk, it doesn't laugh. It sure doesn't give you a hug when you need one. Yet some of you insist on mistaking your children for it. How's that possible? I mean, when you hit a punching bag, it doesn't cry.
Back in the fifth grade, I had a favorite school pastime. Teacher torture. Poor Mrs. Sheldon Fry. I left fake vomit on her desk, set off stink bombs at lunch, painted the class hamster light blue, and the thing was, I liked Mrs. Sheldon Fry, and she liked me, and I learned a lot that year. So, to all the teachers who helped kids learn in spite of themselves, thanks. And to Mrs. Sheldon Fry, did you ever find those dead frog parts?
Some guys will try to tell you that hanging out on the street and messing with guns gets you respect. Well, they're wrong. They're dead wrong. Because sooner or later, you're going to kill someone. And you're going to do time for it. Or someone's going to blow you away because they know you're on. Don't kid yourself, man. You know what happens to guys who carry guns. Wise up. It's your life we're talking about. Don't let a gun kill your future.
Don't let a gun kill your future, or don't you kill your future. And there's a lot of ways that you can do that. One of the ways is eating the wrong food. If you just tuned in, this is Black Teachers Matter, another episode with your host, me, Sharon Eaton Hinton. I'm the producer and the host, and you're on WBCA LP 102.9 FM in Boston. We're Boston's community radio station. My guests here this evening are amazing, as usual, because my people are amazing. Sister Dora Muhammad, who, you know, if I had to give you titles of what I know that she does versus what she really does, I think we'd run out of time in the rest of the show. And then we also have Brother Dana Williams. He's in New York right now, but the work that he does is actually in Boston, in the Black community, because that's how he's rolling. And so to have this king and this queen in the studio with me is wonderful. And just if you just checked it out, like, this is March, and it's not Black History Month, but for those of us who are Black all year long, there it is. So I got my Black Lives T-shirt, Black Lives Matter T-shirt on, but this is also Black Teachers Matter. And I had pushback about naming it, even from some of my prospective board members at that time. Are you sure you want to name it Black Teachers Matter? I mean, this Black Lives Matter, they mean be negative pushback to that. And so unapologetically, no, I don't have a problem with that. because that's just crazy. You know, I'm Black, and, you know, people will say to me, because I'm so light-skinned, no, you're not. And I'll be like, come on, man. I know who I am. Just because you got it twisted. My grandparents go from what they call blue-Black the damn near white and tried to pass. But that's, you know, thank you, slavery. That's what happened. Tonight, we are actually going to educate you a little bit more about the importance of food. 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 You have to have it. If you're a human being, I don't care if you're a vegetarian or, you know, whatever thing. At some point, if you want to stay alive, you need food. And unfortunately, what has been happening is that our food has become adulterated with chemicals, and it gets grown in ways that was never naturally meant to be grown. And so Sister Dora Muhammad, here she is, assalamu alaikum again on camera. Tell me the difference. Before the break, we talked about the difference in the taste and some of the misconceptions that you have to overcome when you're teaching people about the importance of food and the importance of our food, where it comes from. Sister Anna, before she left, people needed to know that's what it looked like in its natural state. Now, I remember traveling across the country, and I was in, Arizona, Nevada, Texas, one of those places that has cactus. And I was on the bus, and I was, you know, this brother that was next to me was from Arizona, but he was leaving Arizona or whatever. So I guess we're in Arizona. And I was looking on the ground, and he says, you know, what's wrong? And I'm looking on the ground. I said, why is the ground so bumpy? And he started laughing. I said, what's so funny? He said, that's cactus. I said, look, I'm from the city. When I see cactus, it's in a pot. I don't know what it looks like that when it's on the ground. So when you deal with people and you're showing them how the seeds look in the ground, and then when it tastes, because you're doing canning and preserving, what are some of the things that you have to teach people in that process?
Yes. So we do have a small organization called Sisters Who Can, Brothers Can Too. So what we teach them from the beginning is how to farm, how to start their garden from a small seed, and how to plant that seed, how to build your healthy soil, and how to grow that seed at the particular or specific time zones. Because as you know, across the United States, we're all in different time zones. So you have to. We teach them how to find a zone that they're in to grow a particular vegetable. And after we teach them that, we teach them how to preserve the food that they grow so they won't have to go to a grocery store where there's vegetables that has that's been sprayed with pesticides and different sprays. So we teach them how to save their seed, grow their seed.
Okay.
Take the food from which they grow and put it in jars to preserve it. Whereas if you go to Stop and Shop or one of these local grocery stores, you'll see that people are buying vegetables, and then the vegetables are wilted. They get wilted. Well, we teach you how to preserve that vegetable instead of throwing it away. Mm. You put it in a jar, and it can last on your shelf for 5 years or more.
Wow.
So these are the type of practices we teach people. So we say from the garden to the table, or from the garden to the jar to the shelf, and then it stays on your shelf for a long period of time, whether it's vegetables, meat, fruits. You know, you can can anything. And we also teach them the canning practices. There's two type of canning, and we teach them those canning practices.
So I have a question for you, and I'm going to bring Brother Dana. Brother Dana, before I bring you on camera, I need you to move more in the middle of the screen. Move over, boom, right there. Stay right there. So I want to bring both of you guys into this stuff. Now, we did, you did, actually, at the last year's New Beginnings Community Resource Fair, you did a table and a presentation, Sister Dora, where you had, I think it was pickles, and you had jellies or jams or something like that. I think we still have one jar of the jam. The pickles went big time. But what it also did was my daughter, who, I don't know, she just woke up one morning and decided she wanted to be, you know, chef of the week or something like that. But she, you know, just started really wanting to cook. And we've always had some kind of plant in the house or some kind of plant. And so, you know, being able to walk on your porch or in your yard and pick a tomato, like pick something and then just eat it, really from there to there is a big difference. But do you guys have any workshops that are coming up now that somebody could tune into? Or
we have workshops. However, they're not in Boston. So the next one we have is going to be in Rhode Island
mm-hmm.
at the Cumberland School.
Mm.
And then the one after that is going to be in Providence at the Noel School.
So we basically need to get you guys back in Boston, keep you so busy that you're all over the place, right?
Yes. So we do teach at libraries. So right now we do have the okay and the paperwork to teach a canon class at the Nubian Library or the, I don't know what they call it now.
Roxbury Library.
The Roxbury Library. So all we need is a date. So once we get that date, we'll be teaching canning and dehydration classes at the Nubian Library inside their state-of-the-art kitchen.
In Roxbury. And Brother Dana, what are you doing in terms of, I think we talked about how you got involved in this particular program, but you're an instructor. And being a Black male teacher and a Black male instructor, for people to see that. And I didn't run the clip that I found about the lawsuit that's happening between the Black farmers against the federal government and how the Black farmers have been systematically not given grants, land stolen from them and taken from them. And so nationwide, there's actually lawsuits that are happening. Like I said, I didn't run the clip because it's about 9 minutes long. So I'm putting in my reservation now to have you guys come back on the other show and also on this show to talk more about the inequity, the racism, the oppression that's involved in using food as a weapon and the scarcity of food as a weapon. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, it's interesting that you you mentioned that. The brother's name is John Boyd, who's like heading that lawsuit with the Black farmers. But yeah, they weren't given the loans. Their lands were actually like stolen from them. They were like actually given different kind of seed that like, you know, would not reproduce itself, or seed that was contaminated. So all of these things were done in order to, discourage, but not only discourage, but like try to like, you know, stop them from having their farms. You know, some were able to weather the storm, many weren't. And so what we're trying to do now, because there's so much land in the country that's unclaimed, and is just, you know, probably like owned by slumlords or the government, and they're just waiting to like figure out what they want to do with it, that we could probably like, you know, if we come together, we would probably be able to like obtain some of that land, because we need to like get that land in order to start growing again. Mm. Things that the sisters were talking about that is so important is soil remediation.
Mm. What is that?
Because like, well, you know, in our communities, the communities that they want now, you know, with gentrification, you know, long before they were polluting those communities. They were like dumping. They were like, you know, they had their chemical plants. They would have like, you know, factories.
Yeah, the manufacturing.
That were detrimental to the community, you know, things of that nature. So that soil has been polluted. So we have to, either we're going to have to like grow in small plots above ground, or we're going to have to figure out a way in order to like restore that soil again and whatnot. Because if we're going to continue to grow in that soil, we're going to get denatured food.
Mm.
We're going to get food that's going to be contaminated. We're going to get food that's going to continually make us sick. So these things are like vital for our survival. So these things have to be done.
So as a Black teacher, because you're an instructor, just as I was sitting there and I was listening to you and looking at you, there's a friend of mine today who had to transfer. She moved, and so she had to transfer her daughter into a different school. And her young daughter is in the third grade. And she said, "Ooh, mommy, this is the first time I'm having a man as a teacher." Do you get that kind of feedback from students and you being taught by another male?
Yes and no. I think that, like, you know, things are like really different for our community right now, and we have to restore a lot of things. So, like, you know, male and female teachers are like very important. And if I could, I'd just like to talk about like the master teacher. As far as this is concerned, there wouldn't be like any organic anything really in this country if it wasn't for George Washington Carver. So,
okay,
so,
now let's go.
So what this brother used to do, like, you know, he had a wagon that he would like just like, you know, ride around in different communities where there were black farmers and just teach them about like, you know, soil health, like, you know, certain things to grow, how to like, you know, operate your farms in a more efficient manner. And to the point where like, you know, we're still using his techniques today. And so, you know, and then like the many like women and, you know, along the way that like, you know, like you said, your grandmother and whatnot, you talk about your daughter, but it's your grandmother who basically like canned the tomatoes, right?
Oh yeah. You canned know, and everything put, else. And that's how exactly. That's how I teach my daughter.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's almost like, it, not almost, but it's in our DNA.
It is whatnot, because you know? We came over here with jobs, right? And a lot of the cultivating and the agricultural techniques, we were specifically sought after because we were so prolific in science and in math and in agriculture. I mean, we brought seeds. People may not know this is another Black History moment, but in our corn row, in our corn road here, we brought over seeds.
That's right.
Exactly. So certain like, you know, places in Africa, you know, like certain like, you know, people that were captured were like prized, like you said. So like South Carolina, Haiti, you know, as far as growing rice, there wouldn't be a rice culture here without that and whatnot. So those techniques, and they brought not only like okra, they brought rice in their hair as well and whatnot, you know. So you know, we even knew. It's funny. It's not funny.
And yams,
but,
too.
You know,
don't forget the yams, because we do the candy yams, and we brought that here.
Exactly. It's amazing. Okra, everything. But it's amazing, you know, like probably like what happened on the bottom of those slave ships, like on that water, like, you know, because you had like people from like different regions of the continent that like knew, like, you know, we're going to have to be like one people and whatnot. So that's just a metaphor. You know, that's something for us to learn today and whatnot. All this division is not going to like, you know, going to sustain us. So like, you know, we got to find a way to come back together.
Oh, man, I know we got to come back together another time. If you just tuned in, you're listening to WBCA LP 102.9 FM in Boston. We're Boston's community radio station. I'm your host, Sharon Eaton Hinton, producer of Black Teachers Matter. This edition, this is going to be part one, because there's no way. I mean, we're bringing up so many different things, and we've got a few more moments left. And in those last few moments, Sister Dora, tell me again about how people get involved in these workshops and this grant, because there was Sister Anna talked about the grant, and is there a number or an email, or could you say your email again, so that people I think it's at NOFA. What is it again?
Northeast Organic Farming Association of Massachusetts. So it's Dora at NOFA Mass. NOFAMass.org. For the sisters who can and brothers can too, we haven't created a website yet, so we can share our email addresses where you can send us an email if you want us to teach a class, a canning, processing, dehydration, or disaster awareness class in your community. So my email for that particular class is DoraM90210@gmail.com. And Dana can give you his email. You can get in touch with either of us, along with Sister Anna and the other people who are associated with us.
And Brother Dana, your contact information? Uh-oh, can't hear you. Something happened. Are you on mute?
Okay, that's better.
There you go.
You can contact me through the same information that Sister Dora gave.
Which is?
What's your private email?
Sister Dora, repeat it.
No, your email address they're asking for.
Or the is the NOFA? Do you have another email address the NOFA? What is it?
NOFAMask.org. That's for the grants.
There's one that the sisters that, who that can. I can actually be contacted and also if you want that.
Yes.
NLC.org.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Nubian Leadership Circle.
Oh. The Nubian Leadership Circle.org. And who is that and what is that?
So the organization basically tries to bring together people. We have cadres. And so the cadre that I'm involved with is Land and Food. So we try to get together with like-minded people of color. Black people, actually, and not only like in our regions, but like, you know, throughout the country and even internationally. Actually, like we're dealing with some people in Haiti as well. And we try to collaborate so that we could help each other expand and grow. And so we can find out if I can find out what you're doing, I won't duplicate it. I'll do something else. And then we'll try to put those things together and we'll have more. So that's what we're doing. We have summits. We've had about 10 summits. We're going to have another one in October. That's going to be in person. The previous ones were all Zoom. So I'm looking forward to that because it is going to be a time for us to get back together face to face and basically strategize that way as well.
Can you tell me, Brother Dana, you and I talked before this show about the importance of working together and unity and being together in terms of Black people?
That's the only way that we're going to survive. There's no other way else for us to survive. In a little bit of time, I just thought of something. I just wanted to say something about food because it's so important to us. But the whole American cuisine is based on us, on a Black man. Basically, it was Sally Hemings' brother. They were enslaved by Thomas Jefferson.
Okay, wait a minute. She wasn't just enslaved. She had Thomas Jefferson's children.
Oh, he was a pedophile.
Well, he supposedly had a room underneath his house, underneath his bedroom, and there was a secret passageway where he could just call on her and get her anytime he wanted.
Mm. Exactly, and she was Thomas Jefferson's wife. Sister, because
yeah, that part.
her father was doing the same thing, and whatnot. But her brother was like a world renowned chef. They even sent them to France, and so many of the things like macaroni and cheese and some of the so called French cuisines that are in the United States, they were all his inventions. But Thomas Jefferson's wife stole them once he died. And she made a cookbook and she made it seem as if all the recipes were hers. But American cuisine, as it is today, is based on us.
Oh, Lord.
We started it.
Lord have mercy. We got a minute and something to go. There's always these Black history moments. I try to learn something new every day. And that right. I knew about the macaroni and cheese thing, but I didn't know there was a cookbook that was stolen. We got about a minute. So I have to say to both of you all, thank you so, so very much for
thank
being
you for
here.
For having us.
Sister Dora, we got to have you coming back. Brother Dana, we got to have you coming back. And my door is open and my phone is on. You guys can call me anytime, really.
Yes, can I share something?
Thank you.
Yes. Can I share something?
Yep, real quickly. Yep.
On Facebook, Nubian Leadership Circle Summit. So it's NLC Circle Summit. It's on Facebook, and you'll be able to see all of the previous programs that Dana's talking about that we had. We had 10 different summits. You'll be able to see them on the Nubian Leadership Circle Summit Facebook page.
And give your contact information again, Sister Dora, just for people that are slow and don't know.
So Dora, D-O-R-A, at NOFAMASS.org, NOFAMASS.org. And then for Sisters Who Can and Brothers Can Too, it's Dora M 90210 at gmail.com.
Okay, thank you so much, and we are out of time. And thank you so much for being here with us. This is WBCA LP 102.9 FM in Boston, Boston's community radio station. The views and opinions you've heard are solely those of the people who are on this program and not BCA, WBNN, WBCA, WBNN, or 102.9 FM Boston. God bless and good evening.
Thanks for having us.